Hey, good evening, everyone. Cheryl, I just sent you an email a few minutes ago, so when you check your email, you'll see it, where I responded to your email about flight times. And I'm really happy that you are coming to see me on Halloween. I still giggled when you said, I'm going to see Regina on Halloween, something in that. Just, I thought that was funny. But, yep, I'm looking forward to it. And when is Halloween? October 31st. Yeah, so she's coming for just a few days, but she's coming, and that will be a lot of fun. Also, since Cheryl just mentioned Be the Love, I guess I'll share something now. I am no longer on the Be the Love team. And, you know, I guess the reason for that, like if you want to point at a reason, the reason for that is that Be the Love traditionally happens the second weekend of August. And Cheryl's crying. And for the next several years, it appears that I'm not going to be available the second weekend of August. It has to do with when the school year starts here, and it has to do with all the things that parents need to sign and all that to get their kid into school. And since I'm Jasmine's only parent, I need to be here. So it just isn't a time that fits for me. But that was only really the catalyst. The truth is, what I noticed is that, although I'm loved and wanted, I'm really no longer needed. You know, Be the Love has become, kind of a turnkey operation. Everybody knows how to do everything. Cheryl knows how to do everything. Pam knows how to do everything. I know how to do everything. Any of us could continue it. We don't need all three of us anymore. And the fact that I couldn't participate anyway, just by the way circumstances were, and it seemed, I'll tell you what I told them in my email to them. I said, it doesn't make sense to be a part of something I can't be a part of. And then I said, it seems crazy to ask you to change everything to fit my schedule, because that's what I was going to have to do if I stayed. I was going to have to ask Be the Love, which is an entire conference. Okay, think about this for a second. And I was going to have to ask an entire conference to adjust itself to my schedule if I was going to continue to be a part of it. And that just seemed really crazy. So when I saw that it just wasn't fitting for me right now, and that the truth is I wasn't really needed anyway, I went ahead and resigned. And then I've already been replaced. Basically what happened, I was the vice president of Be the Love. Cheryl has moved into the vice president position. Pam is the president. And then Jenny and Joanna have moved in as directors. I think Joanna is the treasurer and Jenny is the secretary. So Be the Love for now is continuing without me. I hope to rejoin someday as a facilitator. But right now, this is just the way the universe was turning. It makes a lot of sense to me to go with the way the universe is turning instead of trying to force it to go in a different way. So I'm real excited about Be the Love. I've seen their lineup. I know what they're doing next year, and I'm really, really happy for them. But I personally won't be able to be there. So that's, go with the flow. So that's my announcement about Be the Love. But you can tell that Cheryl and I didn't break up over it, because her response was to come into my house and hang out with me, since she can't hang out with me at Be the Love. So that's pretty cool. All right, now we are here for Holy Spirit guides, and actually we are partway through a message. Okay, Laurent's here. I was just checking to see if Laurent is here. We're partway through a message that we started last week. It's kind of a long message, kind of a deep message. There were a few comments from people after I started teaching it last week about how heavy it is. It is a little on the heavy side, but that is what it is also. I just gave you a link to the message. It is called Experience is Past, and what we will do is begin in the middle of the message today and maybe finish it. We'll see what happens. What I would like to do before I see Dr. David Kay is in the room. I assume that's Dr. David who is following me tonight. Hello, David. I won't be able to hang out, because anybody who knows me knows that after I teach on Sunday nights, I then need to go cook and all of that, do family stuff. But David, I was really happy to see that you're going to be on tonight, and I hope you guys have a great time. Dr. David Kamnitzer, did I say your name right, David? Whenever he calls me, my phone always says, California calling, and that's Dr. David, whenever California calls. All right. What I would like to do then is say a prayer, and then we will go into finishing this message that we started last week. And here is the prayer. Holy Spirit, I want to say that I am grateful for wisdom. Wisdom. I think wisdom to me is that which is realized when all thinking is taken out of it. When all thinking stops, when all personal perspective is given up, then wisdom speaks. As someone who seems to have the experience of being a scribe, wisdom has been put into words for me. But now I experience that same wisdom without the words. It is just as full, without a single word. A word that is sometimes used to describe what we really are is nothing. And I understand the use of that word. I understand the perfection of that word. Nothing is as good a descriptor of what we truly are as any other word. And yet it's nothing with wisdom. Wordless, silent, all-knowing wisdom. It is my desire to be fully immersed into this nothing. It is my desire to give up everything else everything without exception in order to be fully this nothing. I ask wisdom to guide me to the completion of that goal. And I trust it is as I have asked, because the asking came from the heart. Amen. Okay. All right, let me give you all the link again. And in the message, at the top of the message, you'll see where there is a question and then a Holy Spirit answer. And then we come down to a second question and a Holy Spirit answer. We're now ready for the third question. So what you want to do is scroll down in the message to the third question. And the third question says, with this knowledge, what is most helpful to do? So before I can really continue, I do need to kind of review a little bit. What we were looking at last week when we ended was the fact that everything I see is the past. It's a Course in Miracles workbook lesson, kind of paraphrase there. All I see is the past. But Holy Spirit was talking about that in this message given to Laurent and Carolyn and me. You know, Holy Spirit told us that current thoughts that are in our mind, including our current judgments, you know, everything that's in our mind, it would also include all of our perceptions. All of that comes to us from the past. That basically what we have done in the past is we have believed something. And when we believed it, we kind of sent it out into the universe to become manifest in some way, which it did. Whether it was manifest in our personal lives or not is irrelevant because we're all one. And then what happened after we sent it out into the universe is that the universe, as a gift, always giving us back what we give it, the universe sent it back to us as a thought, or a perception, or an experience. So what happens is we get caught up in the cycle of what we have believed goes out into the world, becomes manifest. In some way, it's in our awareness. We see it, which reinforces its belief. And then it comes back into our mind again as a thought, and we have another opportunity to believe it. And we can get kind of caught up in this loop. And so what Spirit is helping us to do is to get out of being caught up in this loop by helping us to see that when a thought comes into our mind, even though it seems to be coming into our mind now, about something now, it really comes into our mind from the past. It's a recycle. So, you know, if I look out in the room and I see a name, Donna, I'm going to pick on my friend Donna. So if I look out in the room and I see Donna's name in the room, and in the past, let's imagine, this is not a true story, in the past, let's imagine that I perceived her as judging me while I was teaching. And, you know, I had a bit of a grievance about her judging me as I was teaching. Well, now I look at her and she's maybe typing something, and there's the thought that Donna is judging me again. But what Spirit is literally saying is my perception is coming from my past. Right? The truth is I don't even have to believe that it was Donna judging me before. I could have believed, you know, it was my mother judging me. And now I'll perceive Donna is judging me. It's not as specific to the personality. It's just the fact that I believed in criticism, that I believed in judgment, that I believed my worthiness or my reputation was somehow attached to that experience. It's that whole, you know, blob of beliefs that, you know, that will lead me to see that and continue to believe it if I choose to, right? So every thought that comes into my mind is recycled from the past. And what wisdom is telling us is that if we will see it as the past, then we will realize we don't have to fall for it again. We don't have to believe it now. It appears to be happening now. It appears that Donna is criticizing me now. It appears to my perception that my reputation is at stake now. But I can look at that with wisdom. And I can honestly say, yes, it's true. I've believed all of these thoughts before. I can see how they would recycle and come back to me now. And it kind of impersonalizes things. It makes it a little more benign. So I can say, you know what, this is just a past thought returning into current experience. But I just don't want to go that way anymore. I don't want to choose that way of perceiving anymore. And when I choose not to choose that way of perceiving anymore, then a new way of perceiving can be offered to me by what we call Holy Spirit, by wisdom. And I can choose to accept the new way of perceiving. So either I'm stuck in my old perceptions as they continue to return and I continue to believe them, or I wise up to the fact that my old perceptions are coming from the past, I let them go, and I make myself available for a new perception. Right? So that's what was taught last week, and so now that catches us up, and the question this week then becomes, with this knowledge, what is most helpful to do? And Holy Spirit says, always remember you are looking at the past, but the power of perception is now. Rest in the knowledge of that power, and the mind directed by desire will know the perception it is directed to choose. Now these sentences get to be a bit heavy, you know, as people pointed out to me. But what it's teaching is very simple. What it's saying is, if you remember that you want to see differently, like A Course in Miracles says, right? Above all else, I want to see. Above all else, I want to see differently. If you remember that you want to see differently, that is your heart's prayer. To see differently. To see only love. To see only through Holy Spirit's eyes. To see always with wisdom, right? If you remember that what you want above all else is to see differently, and you also remember that whatever is currently coming into your mind is an echo from the past, then what you can do is use now effectively. You can use this moment effectively. You know, the idea comes into my mind, Donna is attacking me. Appearances are, she's attacking me right now. This is not past, this is current moment, right? That's the appearance. The appearance is right now, she's attacking me. But I can look for half a second and say, have I ever believed an attack before? With absolute honesty, that's an easy answer. Yes, I have. Yes, I have. I remember that whatever I believe in goes out into the universe and then comes back. And I totally understand why this is happening now. I get it. This is just the universe giving me what I gave it. I gave it the belief in attack through my belief in it. And now it is giving that back to me, another opportunity to continue to believe that. It's really, you know, Donna herself quotes me often, that what Spirit gave me in November of 2006, love is giving through Spirit to Spirit that which Spirit requests, right? Love is giving through Spirit to Spirit that which Spirit requests. So through my belief in attack before, I sent out a request to the universe saying, I want to experience the perception of attack. And then this time, my sister Donna happens to show up seemingly attacking me, and there's my opportunity to continue to believe in attack. And if I fall for it, I think Donna's not my friend. She shouldn't have written those things about me. I continue to believe in attack. I just send out the request again, and somewhere it's going to show up in my holy perception again, attack. But again, if I want to see all of this differently, and if I remember that what I really want, above all else, I want to see differently, then when, quote, Donna attacks me, it seems that way, I see that thought, I can also say, but wait a minute, it is true. It is true. I have believed an attack before. Absolutely. I sent that request out into the universe through belief. It makes perfect sense that this recycle, this echo is here. I get it. It's coming from me. Where have we heard that before? It's coming from me. And seeing it that way is different than seeing it as attack. I mean, how can it be attack if it's coming from me? In order to be attack, it has to come from Donna, right? It has to come from an other. But when it's just a perception echo of my own belief coming back, it's not an attack, it's just a perception echo of my own belief. That's different. (Laughs) And then I automatically see differently. Seeing a perception echo of my own belief is definitely different than seeing attack. So I see differently, I feel different, I respond different if I respond at all. So again, Spirit says, always remember you are looking at the past, right? Always remember that. Whatever appears to be happening now is coming from your past belief. So always remember that you are looking at the past. And also remember the power of perception is now. You don't have to perceive it in that same old way again. You can perceive it as an echo instead of perceiving it as an attack, for example. Rest in the knowledge of that power. The power of perception is now. And the mind, directed by desire, meaning the desire you have to see differently, will know the perception it is directed to choose. It will know exactly how to see. Right? And so then I said to Holy Spirit, sometimes it seems that our energy is affected by the energy or perception of others, both seen and unseen. What helpful clarity can you share with us on this? Well, I started to share this story last week. Both Laurent and Carolyn seemed to feel that North Carolina had kind of a bad energy about it. They had both just come to North Carolina. Carolyn had come from Canada. Laurent had returned from France. And they both had a perception that they were being affected by North Carolina's energy. So that's what's led to this question. Sometimes it seems that our energy is affected by the energy or perception of others, both seen and unseen. What helpful clarity can you share with us on this? And Spirit says, perception is an individual decision. Now I write, you began to provide an answer that referred to individual decision. I, as the scribe, got stuck on the word individual and stopped the flow of your answer. What would you share with me now? This sometimes happens as the scribe. Occasionally you'll see me writing about it. As what I call a scribe, and what Helen also called a scribe, is not someone who was in some kind of a channel where they're not thinking about what they're hearing. Right, both Helen and I are completely alert while we're receiving this inner dictation, which means both Helen and I were capable of having our own thoughts about what Holy Spirit or Jesus was saying to us. And sometimes a strong judgment can just make the flow completely stop. And sometimes as a scribe, we find ourselves judging a word. And here I judged the word individual. And I'll tell you why I judged it. It comes from having intellectual understanding of teachings to some degree without having a true understanding. You know, and the teaching of oneness, as you know, is our teaching, the teaching that we are receiving. And individual seems different or seems separate, right? So as soon as Spirit used the word individual, I judged it. And as soon as I judged it, Spirit stopped. So what I'm doing here is realizing that, in effect, I want to see differently. I'm realizing that through my own judgments of words, which I have done before, through my own judgments, I've stopped the flow of wisdom. And I want the flow of wisdom to return. I've decided that what wisdom has to say is more important than my judgments of what wisdom should say. So I've decided to let go of my error, my perception error, and ask Spirit to again speak. So that's what I'm doing here. I'm saying, you know, I got stuck on this word. I apologize, and I'm reopening myself, and I'm deciding now that no matter what Spirit says, I'm not going to judge it. That's an inner decision I'm making because I don't want it to stop. So I'm opening myself more. And then Spirit says, when we speak of perception, we must speak of perception. Within perception, the choices you make seem to be individual. They are not, as you will see as your mind is arisen. But to deny your perception out of a judgment against self isn't helpful. So this is Spirit saying, basically, the words I'm using are speaking to your experience. Because speaking to your experience right now is going to give you the tools you need right now to let go of obstacles that are in your way so that you can rise to seeing through the eyes of truth. Basically, to give you some, you know, high talk of God that you do not understand is not as helpful as bringing my talk to a level that you can understand, is what Spirit is saying. And so I said, okay, please continue with your answer. And Spirit said, perception is an individual decision. And if you accept responsibility for this, you will see that you are free. It is true that you are affected by one another, but only as an echo of the past. In the current moment, you choose to be affected by the past, or you see that you don't have to. So the difference then between Carolyn and Laurent's way of seeing and my way of seeing was a difference of belief. I was never raised with or taught with, I was never raised with or taught the idea that I could be affected by energies or unseen forces. That was not a part of my belief system. Therefore, I sincerely never experienced that. But apparently for Carolyn and Laurent, it was a part of their belief system. And using the formula that Spirit has just given us, if I believe something, I send that belief out into the world, it becomes manifest in some way, and it comes back into my experience as a thought. And the world witnesses to what I believe. So if they believe that they are affected by unseen energies, they will have the experience of being affected by unseen energies. Now, this was important for me because if you guys remember the first part of the story, I was judging them for thinking that. I was judging them for believing they were affected by unseen energies. And Spirit is telling me that my judgment is an error because this experience is real for them. Spirit is also telling them that their perception is an error. It is not a truth. It is merely the result of their belief. So Spirit is really telling all three of us that we are in error. Perception is an individual decision. And if you accept responsibility for this, you will see that you are free. Why? Because you can understand that no matter what you're experiencing, no matter what you are experiencing, you are experiencing it because it is coming from your past belief. And if you realize that, and you choose to drop the belief in the current moment, then you can see differently now and be free. Perception is an individual decision, and if you accept responsibility for this, you will see that you are free. It is true that you are affected by one another. That line was directed to me. He's saying their experience is their experience. It's as valid as any experience you have, right? So true here doesn't mean ultimate truth. But he's really talking to me to let go of judgment, to honor their experience as their experience. It is true that you are affected by one another, but only as an echo of the past. Now he's explaining the why of it. It's only because you believe you can be affected by energies, whether it's the energy of something unseen or the, you know, like another belief might be that if somebody's in a bad mood, they can bring me down. Right? When somebody in a bad mood walks in the room, they can bring me down. I'll have that experience of a bad mood person bringing me down if I continue to believe that. But if I recognize that my experience only comes from my belief, and I choose to let go of that when the echoes are returning, at some point through the healing of that belief, I'll notice I can be in the room with people no matter what their mood is, and I am unaffected. So you see, I'm not truly affected by the energies of others, seen or unseen. I'm only affected as far as my belief goes. So it is true that you are affected by one another, but only as an echo of the past. In the current moment, you choose to be affected by the past, you choose to continue the belief, or you see that you don't have to. It is helpful to imagine that you can control time. Okay, here we go. It is helpful to imagine that you can control time. See yourself taking the current moment and slowing it down. When you think of the current moment as an instant, it seems to be quickly gone. But when you slow the current moment to a time frame that continues to stretch, the moment you have is never gone. Now, in this endless moment that extends eternally, take the time to make the choice you've come to make. And this endless moment is the choice easily made because it is the desire of the Son of God. So, I'm going to use the example of somebody in a bad mood, since that's closer to my personal experience and my beliefs, past belief system. So somebody comes into the room who's in a really bad, I'm sitting here happy, la-di-da-da-da, doing whatever, la-di-da-da-da-da, and then somebody comes into the room who is clearly in a bad mood. I can feel the dark cloud around them, right? I start getting very uncomfortable by their energy, and I notice my happiness slipping away. And the thought comes into my mind, boom, I am being affected by their energy. Okay, I am being affected by their energy. Their energy is affecting me. It's almost like being contaminated, right? The feeling of being contaminated by another's energy. And being contaminated. What Spirit is saying is, I can slow down time by really zeroing in and looking at this belief that I am contaminated. I can slow time, look at that belief. I can see right now I believe I'm being contaminated. I believe I'm being affected by someone else's energy. I can ask, have I had this belief in my mind before? The answer is easy. It's always yes. And then I can say, this is just the past. This is just an echo of the past. Do I want to continue to believe something that I don't have to believe? Do I want to continue to have this experience of being contaminated? This experience of being affected? this experience of being victim to something outside of my control? The answer is easy. No. And then I make a decision. I choose to see this only as an echo of the past. It is not my current experience. It is an echo. I do not have to believe it again. And that's a real decision, not just something said, but I can feel the decision being made inside myself. And then I can feel some release, at least some release, in that moment from the belief that I was affected. And if this slowing down of the moment, which really means taking the time to look, if this slowing down of the moment is practiced every time that belief comes back, some ripple of that belief comes back, if I continue to do that slow down practice, that slow down looking, what eventually happens is the belief itself dies. And you could even say there's a logical reason why the belief itself dies, because I wasn't just quickly believing it. You know, quickly believing it would look like, oh no, you know, I'm contaminated. I'm contaminated. It's her fault or his fault that I feel bad now, right? It's the energy of this place. It's the energy of this place. This is why I feel bad. If I do that, that's not looking at it. That's believing it. I throw it back out there and it's going to come again. And I'm going to keep believing it because my experience is saying that it's true. But if I choose to slow down the moment, and if I choose to look at it in the way I demonstrated just a moment ago, every time I have the experience, I'm not believing it. I'm not throwing it back out into the universe. And pretty soon, if not immediately, that belief will die in me. And I'm going to have the pleasure, it's going to be a pleasure, at least it is in my experience, I'm going to have the pleasure of someday, sometime, sitting there happily, do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Somebody walks in with this really heavy energy, and I just go right on, do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And suddenly I'm going to notice, oh my God, I'm not affected. It's going to be like, oh my God, I'm not in the slightest bit affected. You know? And the reason I'm not affected is because the belief that I could be has died through my willingness to slow down the moment and look at it whenever I was faced with the belief. And the best time to do this is always now. I read recently in a book of Muji's dialogues, there's a word he uses that I've never used, so it's a new word to me, auspicious. I had to look it up. I didn't know what the heck auspicious meant. But basically it means like good, or in some cases it can mean like opportune, right? And he says, the auspicious moment is now. Which means while I'm faced with the belief, while I'm sitting there thinking my energy is being affected by this person or this place, right? While I'm faced with it, while it's right there, that's the time to slow down the moment. Slow down the moment and look at it. Because you know what happens if I don't slow down the moment while faced with it? I believe it. Kind of like an either or. So I'm either sending that belief back out into the universe to create another echo, or I'm not. So the auspicious moment is now. When faced with the belief, I want to do the practice. I don't want to say I'll do it later. I'm so scared I'm being affected, you know, later. I want to do it now. As I mentioned, some people told me this was a heavy message. The truth is, it's the same as the code. It's also the same as NTI Ephesians. You know, this teaching shows up in a few places. But I think that the day I received it, I also felt it was quite heavy. I felt that I wouldn't be able to hold on to the teaching. I would forget it. And so I said, I'm feeling a summary would be helpful. I wanted Holy Spirit to take all of this and boil it down into something that felt simple for me. And so here's Holy Spirit's response. Experience is past. And that includes the thought you seem to think now. But remembrance of truth is seen through that past to what is now. It is this seeing that changes all things. Whenever you remember, let go of the past, and a new moment of experience can be given. So, Holy Spirit is going beyond talking about the belief that I'm affected by energies of others, seen or unseen. Holy Spirit is talking about all of our experiences, all of our perceptions, and all of our thoughts. So again, if the thought comes into my mind now that, I'm judging some person, my eyes land on them, my mind judges them, and then the very next thought is that I'm this horrible person because I can't quit judging, so I start judging myself next. Spirit is saying all of those thoughts are coming from the past. You think you're thinking about now. You think you're judging yourself for what you just thought, for what you just believed, right? But every single perception, thought, image that is occurring right now is an echo from the past. And Spirit is saying if you will remember that, then you'll be able to see through it. You'll be able to see it as nothing but the echo of past perceptions or the echo of past beliefs. You won't take it so seriously. It'll be just like a mechanical function of how the mind works, of how perception works. But if you don't take the time to remember that what you're experiencing now is the past, you may take it very personally. In fact, you probably will take it very personally. You'll re-believe it, and you stay in that loop of perception. So that's the simplistic. Just remember, everything you're experiencing now is the past. And let's see, I have the Course in Miracles workbook here. I'm going to rip that open real quick. Listen to these first lessons in the Course in Miracles workbook. Nothing I see means anything. I have given everything all the meaning it has for me. I do not understand anything I see. These thoughts do not mean anything. I am never upset for the reason I think. I am upset because I see something that is not there. I see only the past. My mind is preoccupied with past thoughts. I see nothing as it is now. Do you hear that? That's just the first 9 workbook lessons. And it's exactly the same teaching. Right? Exactly the same teaching. Okay, so that is the end of this particular message then, which was called Experience is Past. The next message is called, hold on, I see a question here. I'm going to look at this question. So people who bring you up and happy experiences are also echoes of the past. Yes, but not a problem because they are happy. Yeah, you perceive it maybe that way. But yeah, if you believe that being around happy people brings you up, then you're also going to believe that being around unhappy people brings you down. So the real problem is the belief that you can be affected by others. You know, it's like two sides of a coin. And in fact, I received a message from Holy Spirit once. Actually, I think it was a series of messages about mind watching. This same point, by the way, is in NTI 1 Corinthians. The idea is that when you're happy, you know, we often don't watch our mind when we're happy. We only watch our mind when we're unhappy. The idea is when you're happy, go ahead and check in and watch your mind and see if there's a because there. You're like, do you think you're happy because everything is going your way? Do you think you're happy because your partner is treating you the way you like to be treated? Do you think you're happy because the weather is the way you want it to be, right? Do you think you're happy because the scales, you know, say the weight that you want to be at? Go ahead whenever you're happy, check and see if there is a happy because. Because if there is a happy because, well, then there is also the opportunity for suffering there when that because is taken away, when the scales say more, when the weather changes, when your partner treats you differently, right? So, yeah. Yeah, you want to be happy just. because you're happy. That would be okay. Happy just because you're happy. But if it's linked to any experience or form that is that can change, well, that thing is going to change and your happiness goes out the window. So yeah, watch the happy because. And that's something we sometimes don't do. We're much better at watching our mind when we're unhappy than we are at watching the mind when we're happy. Yet if we're happy because, the seeds of our next suffering are right there. So might as well catch those seeds before they're firmly planted. All right, another message that I'm going to begin. I don't think I'll finish. We'll see. We only have about 15 minutes left, but I am going to begin it. Now, I will tell you, once again, I'm not going to be here next Sunday night. I'm traveling again next weekend. So, Laurent, you can let me know if you are going to be here, and if you want to continue the Patience is Key message for me next week. If not, then we'll just hold off till I get back. So let me know if that works for you. I'm going to give you a link to the Patience of Key message. It does work for you. Okay, great. So Laurent will finish this message then next week. I'm giving you a link to the Patience is Key message, but if you're already in Experiences Past, all you have to do is scroll to the top, and on the right you'll see where it says Patience is Key. Click on that, and that will take you to the next message. And here is the question. Holy Spirit, I have several friends who seem to believe they are victim of their own minds or victim to the thoughts in their mind. They are caught in a loop of believing and experiencing that they cannot seem to emerge from, and they are clearly feeling trapped in hell. Now, I'll tell you where I got this. I got this from them telling me this. This was their perception shared with me. Again, it was a perception that I personally did not at this point in my life share. I believed in the practice the Spirit gave me. And maybe I believed it was just, even now, you know, what the current practice that I'm on, I may not be having the experiences that are promised, but I believe that if I am patient and I stick with the practice to the best of my ability, those experiences will come. So there's not any fear around the fact that I'm not fully awakened to self now. There's not any fear around that. I trust it will come, and I just do my best in every moment. But I had friends that did not seem to have that same inherent trust. And what would happen for them, at least the way they explained it to me, this is the way I perceived it based on what they explained, is as soon as their mind began to act up, they went spiraling down. Spiraling down. Because to them it was, oh no, here it comes again. So again, I have several friends who seem to believe they are victim of their own minds or victim to the thoughts in their mind. They are caught in a loop of believing and experiencing that they cannot seem to emerge from, and they are clearly feeling trapped in hell. What is most helpful to share with these friends who are seeking help? I surrender all thought to you and wait gratefully for your answer. So this was Holy Spirit's answer. The answer lies in remembering who you are all of the time. Although you may not have the experience of being Creator, you have the knowing of it, at least intellectually. And it's true, all of these friends were people who had been reading these messages as they were coming. So they knew Spirit's teaching, at least intellectually. Spirit says that little bit of knowing is enough to take you very far. But when you remember yourself as victim, you forget who you are. In that moment, you are being you, pretending to be something else, and the entire experience you are having is coming from you. So we could say literally that the first error that leads to the experience of the spiraling down is the thought, oh no, here it comes again. You see? Just that very first thought, oh no, here it comes again, invites the entire experience. And in that thought, oh no, here it comes again, there is no realization of I am creator of my own experience. It's completely lost. There's only the belief that I am victim of my mind. So Spirit is saying from the very, very, very beginning, before the spiral down even begins, remember, remember that all of your experiences come from you. And the truth is, even if you go down into this full spiral, which you may, because you've believed this so many times before, if you go down into this full spiral with the remembrance that this spiral is an echo from the past, it's going to be a slightly different experience than if you don't have that remembrance with you as you go. So instead of fully believing the, oh no, here it comes again thought, take a breath and remember all experience is of the past. Start there. Right? Holy Spirit continues, when you remember what you are and you decide to trust that knowledge with faith, you begin to create an opposite driving force. It is the opposite driving force that will begin to create an opposite driving experience. Then experience and faith can be combined to create a stronger opposite driving force. Okay, so let me explain what this might feel like. So you're a person who has these horrible, I mean, all these people had horrible downward spirals. We're not talking mild experiences here. Okay, horrible downward spirals. So you're a person that has a horrible downward spiral situation, and you know, you experience them from time to time, right? So you know what it feels like when it's starting again. That's familiar to you. So Spirit is saying when that familiar feeling comes and you have that thought, oh no, here it comes again, stop for a moment and remember this is an echo of the past. Again, if you slow down the moment like we saw in the previous message, have I believed that I was a victim of my mind before? You know you have. So there's an easy, honest, yes, I've believed that. Okay, so this experience is coming from my past belief. And then what you do is you pull in all of Spirit's teaching very quickly. You don't need to intellectually remember it. You pull it in very quickly and you remember that all of your experience is coming from you and from your belief, and that if you can just begin to place your belief even slightly in a different direction now, The experience has got to be a different experience. And you start putting your faith there. That's the beginning of creating an opposite driving force. You see, the original driving force was, oh no, here it comes again. The opposite driving force is, this comes from the past. I have most definitely created these experiences. I see that. I'm going to put my faith with spirit that these experiences need not be. Or whatever way it feels honest to you. Now, the experience may still come. My experience with past echoes is that usually the first few times the echo returns, the echo has a lot of strength, because guess what? I've given it a lot of belief in the past. But there is a difference between going through the experience with an understanding this is just the past. And, you know, a symbol that's been really good for me, which I know some of you know about, is like if you throw a stone into a still pond, it creates ripples, right? This is just a ripple from stones I've thrown before. And so what I would do is keep that image in my mind. And I would, Laurent knows this, when I had experiences come over me that were from my past, you know, mine were like anger experiences, hate experiences, those types of things. Sometimes fear experiences around money. When I had these experiences coming over me, I would go into my bedroom, I would close the door, and I would lay there. But I wasn't, although there was suffering going on, I wasn't laying there suffering, I was laying there remembering. I would lay there on the bed remembering, this experience comes from me. This is a ripple from past believing. I'm just going to let this ripple wash over me now. I'm not going to believe these thoughts again. I see these thoughts, but I am not going to believe these thoughts. I am going to lay here and let this ripple pass. I'm not going to try and run away from this ripple or escape this ripple or blame anyone for this ripple. I am going to lay here and let this ripple pass. I will not throw another stone. Now, the way I'm talking, that's the way I talked to myself while I was laying there. And at least in my experience, that was very, very helpful, because if I'm keeping the mind busy with that type of thought, the mind can't take me over. What do you do with the feelings of the ripple? You just let them be there. There's no reason to run away from feelings. They're just an experience. They're not actually hurting anything. They may be feelings of guilt. They may be feelings of fear. They may be feelings of shame, which I saw Deb mention. They may be feelings of hate and even fear about hate, right? But they're not going to hurt you. So you let the feelings be. And you remember that you're letting the ripple pass over you. And that is beginning to create the opposite driving force. You're no longer throwing out into the universe the belief in your downward spiral. You're actually throwing out into the universe the faith that you are healing. That's another thing I used to say to myself. I trust the healing process. Even while I was in the grips of fear, I trust the healing process. So when you remember what you are and you decide to trust that knowledge with faith, you begin to create an opposite driving force. It is the opposite driving force that will begin to create an opposite driving experience. Then experience and faith can be combined to create a stronger opposite driving force. So I'm going to stop there, because the next paragraph begins a process that Holy Spirit is going to explain. And I don't want to stop in the middle of the process. I'm going to let Laurent take that next week. So Laurent, you'll begin pretty much, you might want to review a little bit, but you'll begin pretty much with this third paragraph that says the beginning of reversal is most challenging. I even love the next sentence. It is helpful to praise even the smallest of gains with intense gratitude during this time. I'll go ahead and just talk about that one sentence. So let's imagine you do what I said, I do it. You lay on the bed, you do the soft self-talk, you let the ripple go over you, right? You keep doing the self-talk. Maybe the experience is a full experience of fear, a full experience of shame, a full experience of hate, right? But based on what Spirit is saying here, you don't beat yourself up for that experience. That's not helpful. Instead, you have gratitude that to at least some degree you remembered it was a ripple, right? You saw it at least somewhat differently this time. He says even the smallest gains, yeah, you want to have gratitude for. So I'll leave it at that and let Laurent finish next week. Thank you, everyone. Hang around for Dr. David. He's a good friend of mine, and he has a lot of wisdom. He lets it come through. All right. Bye.